Erev Tov, good evening, everyone. We are in the Zera Shimshon for Parshas. We're actually Tazria Metzora, but we're going to look at a piece in Parshas Metzora. This is Os Vav, section 6. In the Sefer itself, it is Daf Samech He. And the Zera Shimshon is going to talk, is going to start with a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that deals with the issue of how people are punished, or how Hashem deals with people who have done something wrong, what deals with people when they do avera. It's a very interesting Gemara. So the Zera Shimshon says, Perek Yud de Pesachim, in the 10th Perek of Maseches Pesachim, Hodu l'mi shegova chovo shel adam bitovaso. The Gemara is asking on a question on the Perek in Tehillim that begins Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, and that is Kuf Lamed Vav 136 Perek Kuf Lamed Vav Hodu l'Hashem ki tov. And the Gemara says, what do we mean we should give thanks or we should give praise to Hashem because He is good? So this Gemara explains it. It's actually quoting Rav Chista, one of the Amoraim Rav Chista, who says, "Shegova chovo shel adam," that when Hashem collects a debt from a person, that means when a person does something wrong, it's as if they've created a debt to Hashem. And how does Hashem collect that debt? He does it bitovaso, through the good things that He has already given the person. And the Gemara gives examples. Ushir Bishoro, if it's a wealthy man, then Hashem might cause something to happen to that wealthy man's ox, his shore. Ani Bisyo, if it's a poor man who wouldn't normally own an ox, but he might own a lamb or a sheep, so then something could happen to the sheep. And Vechule, etc. The Gemara continues, if it's an orphan, who maybe owns no animals at all, but he does have an egg of a chicken egg. So something may happen. Someone might steal that chicken egg from him as a way of him attaining kapar and forgiveness for the sin that he did. And if it's an almana, a widow, well, she might actually have a chicken or a rooster herself. And so she would be punished through that. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi on the Gemara explains, Itovaso, what does it mean God collects His debt through His goodness? Ratzalomar, this means to say, Betova shenosein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God collects the debt that people owe because of their sins. He collects it through the good things that Hashem has given to the person. As we said, V'ayin Shem, there Shimshon says, look at the Gemara and look at the Rashi, and you'll see his explanation over there. So let's pause for a moment just to understand that really very important idea in the Gemara. Again, the Gemara is talking about what do we mean when we say Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, give thanks, give praise to Hashem because He is good. So when we read that, we think it means because God is good. Of course God is good. But the Gemara wants to take it a little bit in a different direction and say, no, we're being very precise here, and we're saying praise Hashem because when He's in a situation that He has to punish us, He has to bring kapara to us for our averos, He does it through tov, through the goodness that He's already given us, through the property, through the wealth, through the physical material possessions that we have that He has blessed us with. Meaning what? Meaning as opposed to punishing us by taking our lives, by making us ill, God forbid, as opposed to doing that, God says, I will collect my debt, so to speak, from your property. And not only that, I will do it, I will make it depend on how much property a person has. A person who has more property might get a certain type of punishment, and a person who has less property might get a much reduced punishment, because Hashem wants to, the point of the Gemara is Hashem, His plan, His procedure is to punish people in a way that they can deal with it, as opposed to something that would be overwhelming for them, something that would be too much. Obviously, if a poor man were to lose all of his material possessions, then that would bankrupt him. But a rich man might lose the equal wealth to the poor man's possessions and still be doing fine. So that's not the way it works. It works based on how many material possessions God has blessed the person with. So that's the Gemara in Pesachim. So in the next paragraph, the Zeir Shimshon continues. Kasha, this is difficult. Shahare af imlo yigba mimenu hamamon. If God chose not to collect the debt from a person's material, from their money or their material possessions, v'yigba migufo, and he collected it from their body, v'chaloyim royim, through terrible diseases, bar minan, which means not keep it far away from us, like chas v'shalom. Let's say God decided to do that, ubemisa, or through death, im kol ze nikra b'tova shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even in such cases, it would still be called through the tova, through the goodness that Hashem has given us. Shari hu hanosein chayim, because God gives us life, v'refuah shlem, he gives us good health, l'chol basar, for all people. So since God gives every human being their life, their lives, and gives every human being the health that they have, then God could take away, so to speak, he could collect the debt from a person's life, if that's necessary, God forbid, or from a person's health, God forbid, and it would still be considered ketov. It would still be considered from the good that God gave us, because God gave us our lives and health. V'shayach shapir lomar hodu. And it would still be appropriate to say, give thanks to God, l'misha gova chova shel adam b'tovaso. Give thanks to Hashem who collects the debt from the goodness that he gave us. Dehainu b'tova shehishpilo. This is all goodness that he blessed us with, meaning with our lives, with our health, and with our material possessions. The Ein Lanu Raya Lomar, so we have no proof to say, demire, that the Pasuk is talking about Dafka specifically, Le'inyan Hamomon, in terms of material possessions. So what this is, in sum, is a question on Rav Chisda, who is the Manza Amar in the Gemara, who made this statement, right? Rav Chisda came along and he said, what does it mean, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, give thanks to Hashem because he is good? It's because we're especially blessing Hashem that when he does have to punish us, he punishes us from our material possessions, and he does it in a way that each individual can handle, so to speak, based on how many material possessions that they have. It's not one universal rule. It's handled subjectively based on each person. That's what Rav Chisda said. So the Zeir Shimshon says, well, one second. How did Rav Chisda know that's what the Pasuk's talking about? Because even if God did not take from our material possessions, even if God forbid, gave us diseases by taking away from our health, or God, again, chas v'shalom, took a person's life, then that would also still be from the goodness, from the good things that he blessed us with. So how did Rav Chisda know it was referring to our mammon, our money, or our material possessions? And the Zeir Shimshon is going to proceed to answer that question. We're now on the top of Daf Samech Vav. The Yesh Lomar, and we can say, Dishlosha Tovos Yesh Lo La'odam Ba'olam Hazeh. A person has three fundamental, basic, good things that he or she receives from Hashem in this world. Obviously, we're blessed with a multitude, with countless blessings from Hashem in this world. However, there are three fundamental blessings, fundamental gifts that God gives us. Hachayim, life. The ubrius haguf, and the health of our body, our physical well-being, behamamon, and our material possessions. Achayim heim chashuvim mikulam. Life is the most important of the three basic gifts from Hashem. Behamamon garua mikulam, and the material possessions are least of the three. So there's a hierarchy, the Zeir Shimshon says, and that is our life, our health, and then our material possessions. All are obviously extremely important, but that hierarchy is readily understood and readily in place, because of course a person who isn't blessed with life, if a person loses their life, then of course they can't, at that point their physical well-being and their material possessions become completely meaningless. So life is clearly more important, and so too with health. If a person isn't blessed with health, then in general they can't enjoy their material possessions. So we see the hierarchy is clear. Omnam, however, legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God's perspective, kol hatovos hein shavos, all of these three basic gifts are equal, they're equivalent. Shehare akol nivra b'ma'amaro, all of these three things were created through God's speaking, meaning everything in the universe comes from God's his speaking when he created the world, and in his continued keeping the world, his continued making sure that the world continues to run. V'lo hotzi zman bebriyazu yoser mizu. And from God, he didn't take any more time or more effort with one of these things more than another thing. Uvein achayim, uvein hamomon, uvein abrios, and whether or not we're talking about life or material possessions or health, physical health, heim shavim lefanov, they are equal in front of Hashem. So for us, there's a hierarchy. For people, there's a hierarchy between chayim, life, brius, health or physical well-being, and mamon, material possessions. But the Zera Shimshon says that hierarchy does not exist from Hashem's perspective, because Hashem's perspective, everything that he did to create the universe and everything that he did to give through his hashgacha, through his specific gifts and blessings and benefits to each individual human being, none of them represent more of an effort or more of a more time on his part, so to speak, kaviyachol, than any other thing. So they're all completely equal in front of Hashem, but not from the perspective of people. And the Zera Shimshon is going to illustrate this with an example. Kemo shetzayar echad, let's say you had one artist, yetzayar kamatsuros, and he made many paintings. Kol echad mishunis mechaverta, each one was different from the other one. So an artist now is making paintings to sell, and each one's a little different. V'yimkor osan kol achas lefi erka, and he wants to sell each one according to its specific value. The hainu sheyachshov al kol achas kama hotzi al zos. He has to calculate how much did he spend. What were his costs, his expenses for each one? Hotzos hatzvayim, for example, the expenses he had for the different colors, the paints that he used. Yosem echaverta, more than he might have used one, more than another one. V'kama zman hotzi bezu yoser mi bezu, and how much time he spent on one particular painting more than another painting. Maybe he worked harder, it was more complicated, it was more complex, it was more detailed. Ulefi erech zen, according to this value, yishalim hakone, the purchaser is going to pay demei shavya, the worth of the painting biyoser. He's going to pay more if more time and more energy and more resources were invested in a certain painting. Let's say on certain paintings, the painter used a higher quality paint. Maybe he used gold leaf on the fanciest painting or some other kinds of paints that are much more expensive. Whatever the paints are used and invested in a specific painting, he's going to charge more for. And if he used less quality paints, if he used less paint altogether, if he used less detail on a different painting, then he's going to charge less for that. Omnam, however, im yihyu kulan shavos, if all of the paintings were equal, shehotzi kol kach zman v'tzeva bezu kemo bezu. Let's say he had a system down and he used the same amount of paint and the same amount of time for each of the paintings. Eino yochol hamocher, then this artist, this seller, is not able, mishuras hadin, according to the law, according to the halacha, lahalos de mezu yoser mizu, to raise the price of one of the pieces of art more than another. So obviously, in the Zera Shimshon's mind, he's not viewing art in the insane way that we view art now, where a person might paint a canvas white and put a dot on it and say, you know, this is worth $1 million, and another person might put two dots and say it's worth $2 million, or they might throw, a third artist may throw paint or have his young child throw paint at the canvas, and that's going to be worth $5 million. He's not referring to that kind of situation. He's basically saying, just like anything else that a person creates, their time has a certain value, their resources, their energy, their resources that they invest in it, all of those things can be put into the price. But if the person invests the same amount of time and the same amount of resources into different items, then all of them should have the same price according to halacha. That's the example that he gives. And now he's going to proceed with kind of that example in mind to talking about Hashem and how he handles people who might have committed sins and the process of collecting the debt, meaning bringing kapara to those people for their sins. Last paragraph. V'hinei ha'odom ha'chote. behold, a person who has committed a chet, nikra kemo mazik. Such a person is called like a mazik, a damager. So in our frame of reference, right, if I damage your property, I owe you for damaging your property. Not only do I have to apologize, I have to pay you. I have to make up the damage. So the Zera Shimshon says, when a person does an avera, they are now considered like a mazik. They are someone who did damage to Hashem. Hashem created this magnificent world and placed us in it. And we have a neshama, and we're supposed to follow Hashem's laws and his rules and the Torah and the mitzvos. And so if we commit a chet, if we commit a sin, we're doing damage to that structure. We're doing damage to God's plan for the world. So we're like a mazik. V'kai malon, and we hold, and now we're going to, Zera Shimshon is going to quote from the first Mishnah in the fifth parak in Maseches Gittin, and it says, Hanizikin shamin lahem be'idis. When you do damages, we evaluate that from the best of your property, from the best of your possessions. Let me come back to that in a moment. The imkain hayelo lomus. If so, if when a person commits a chet, then they're like a mazik, they're like someone who damaged someone else's property. And if the halacha is based on this mission in Maseches Gittin, that when you do damage someone, you need to pay them from the best of your property, then the best possession, as we said moments ago, a few minutes ago, the best possession of the three basic gifts that God gave us, the best one is chayim, is life itself. So if we need to pay from our best possession, that means a person needs to pay, God forbid, from his life. In order to get repentance, to get kapara for his sins, in order to clear himself from the sin that he's committed. So let's pause here before we go further, just to understand that Mishnah and Maseches Gittin, because we're going to get a little deeper into that in a moment, into that whole concept. So the Mishnah says as follows: if a person damages the property of another person, and let's imagine you did $500 worth of damage. You backed your car into the other person's car in a way that it's clearly your fault, and the damage that you did, the fender bender, the damage that you did is going to take $500 to repair. So I have done $500 damage to another person's car. If I have $500, I give them $500. If I don't have cash, if I don't have the mumon, the money itself, I can give them metaltalin. I can give them movable objects. In other words, I could come and I could say, okay, here are certain possessions that I have. It's worth $500. I'll give them to you and you might accept them as they are. Or I can take these, sell them for $500 and give you $500. We can work it out that way. But let's say I don't have mammon, I don't have the money. And let's say I don't have metaltalin, I don't have the movable objects, or maybe I've hidden those things because I don't want you to get a hold of those things. So then the Beis Din is going to evaluate my land, my real estate holdings, my property, and they're going to give this victim of my malfeasance, they're going to give him or her $500 worth of my property. Now, when they do that, here's where the Mishnah comes in with its rule. When they do that, they're going to base that on what we call idis, which means the best, the superior quality of my property. Any person who owns property, especially in a time when people owned agricultural property, or their property was often used for agricultural purposes, but this is true even today, there are different levels. There are different levels of property that a person might own. If I own a piece of property that, because of zoning rules or because of other nature of the property, it's rocky, nothing can really be built there, you can't really do much with it, well, that's my lower level property. That, by the way, is called ziburis. That's my inferior property. If I have another piece of property, on the other hand, that is open and flat, there's no rocks, there's no hills, it's in an area where anything, I can do anything in the world I want with it, I can build on it, or again, in an agricultural time, I can plant any kind of crop there, and it's unrestricted and it's fertile land, so then that's what we call idis, that's what we call superior, my top level property. So according to the Mishnah, when you damage someone else's property and you're going to pay, the payment has to be made idis, from the highest level property. Now, things don't end there, as we're about to see in a moment. There's actually an important machlokas, which the Zera Shimshon is going to mention, which is, whose property are we talking about? Are we talking about the highest level, the idis, the highest quality property of the Mazik, the damager. Okay, so in the case I gave, I bumped that guy's car with my car. So you look at my property, Bezdin comes and looks at all the property I own, and they take $500 worth of my best property, my best piece of property, and that is now going to go to the guy who owns the damaged car, right? That's the view of Rebbe Akiva, that we base the evaluation on the quality of the property owned by the mazik, by the person who did the damage. However, there's another opinion. Rebbe Yishmael disagrees with this. And Rebbe Yishmael says, we base it on the property of the nizak, the person whose item was damaged. So now shift everything and let's go to the guy whose car I hit and let's look at his property. We go to the top level property that he has. And when I pay my $500, it's gonna be based on the top level property that he or she has, the person whose property was damaged. Meaning, if I have even better property, let's say I have far superior property to the guy whose car I damaged, doesn't matter. We're going to take property equal to his or her, the owner of the cars that I damaged, best property. So things are based on the nizak, the person whose property was damaged, not the mazik, not the damager. That's according to Rebbe Yishmael. Let's see how that machlokas plays in right now. Ubiprat, the Zera Shimshon says, and specifically a person who commits a sin, we would think should have to give up their life, specifically the Kaimalan, because we hold in that Gemara in Masechta Gittin, Karebi Akiva, like Rebbe Akiva, Dibimazik Shaiminon, that we base the evaluation on the damager, right? So if a person does a sin, we're considering the person who did the sin, the mazik, the damager, and we're considering Hashem, the nizak. Hashem is the party who's been damaged or whose property has been damaged. So the Zera Shimshon says, according to Rebbe Akiva, the whole evaluation that the Mishnah Gemara Masechta Gittin is talking about is an evaluation on the property of the mazik, the damager. That's the person who committed the sin. That's the chote. So the Zera Shimshon says, well, what's the top property and possession and gift that person has been blessed with, the person who did the sin, the mazik? It's his life, it's chayim. It's not any of his physical possessions. And remember, go back to the hierarchy. There's chayim, there's brius haguf, and there's mamon. All of a person's material possessions are the lowest thing in the hierarchy, on the totem pole here. A person's life is clearly the most valuable blessing and the most valuable thing that a person possesses and a person is given from Hashem. And therefore, a person who's a chote and a sinner, who we consider a mazik, they should have to forfeit their life, especially according to Rebbe Akiva, who says we base everything on the possessions of the mazik. Ve'im kol zeh, and even with all of this, even knowing all of this information, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tovasenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to benefit us, purely for our good, Choshesh L'Svaras Rebbe Yishmael, he is concerned about the view and the thinking of Rebbe Yishmael, De Ka'amar, who says, De Benizak Shaiminon, that we should do the evaluation based on the property of the damaged party, which we said is Hashem. U'legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem's perspective, HaKol Echad, everything is the same, as we said before, v'hakol nikra metav, and everything is considered the best. Every gift that Hashem gives us from Hashem's perspective is equal. There's no hierarchy. Hashem doesn't expend, as we said, more time, more effort, more resources, more energy when he gives a person life than when he gives a person health than when he gives a person material possessions. From Hashem's unique possession, that's all the same, and they're all considered top quality. And therefore, this is what Reb Chista meant in the Gemara in Psachim that we started with. Hodu, give thanks, l'misha gova chova, to the one who collects the debt, v'chule, etc., v'tova shenosein lo, with the good that God has given to each individual. D'legabe dide, because in terms of Hashem's frame of reference, hakol nikra metav, all of the gifts that he's given us, even our lowly material possessions, and I say lowly, of course, because they're lower than chayim and brius, than life and health, even those things are considered equal and of the same value and of the best quality, the metav of the goodness of the things that Hashem has given us. So the whole point of that Gemara, now that the Zera Shimshon has put all of this in perspective for us, is that Rav Chisda is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu does an incredible, almost miraculous tova benefit for us, and that's what we're thanking him for when we say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, because every time we do a chait, Hashem would be justified in saying, you did a chait, you're like a mazik, according to the halacha, I should take, collect the debt, so to speak, from you and demand your most valuable possession. And that would be our life, God forbid. And Hashem says, no, I'm not going to take from your life. I'm not going to take from your health. I'm going to take from your property. Of course, we know that that is the general approach, according to that Gemara, that Hashem follows. There are times, of course, when it does become necessary based on the Aveira and based on what Hashem feels we need to improve and do tshuva and learn from our errors and our mistakes and to truly gain kapara, that it can impact our health, and God forbid, in the most extreme cases, it can even impact a person's life. But as a general rule, the Gemara in Pesachim is telling us we should thank Hashem for the countless times when he could have claimed something of that we would have considered of a much higher value, and instead he said, let me just impact this person's material possessions. Yashukov to everyone who participated in the learning tonight.